A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and will come to them, and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
This reading comes from the Last Supper, before Jesus was crucified, but it looks forward to and anticipates that time after his resurrection and after his ascension, when the disciples will be alone and wondering what to do next. And into that space, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit. And we'll celebrate that in a couple weeks on the Feast of Pentecost. But the point for us in this passage today is that Jesus is talking about how we live as post-resurrection beings, knowing that God, the God of the universe, has been born into a human body and lived a particular life in ancient Palestine, and that that God died for us and rose again and has promised to come to us and to make a home with us. And that's a really shocking statement. It might not sound shocking to our ears, but think about the classical theistic understanding of God, where God is something distant and holy, unapproachable, right? And that takes decades of study and accumulation of wisdom, or exactly the proper actions in the religious rituals to access this God. That God who does not want anything to do with impurity, with imperfection, with us little humans who are like ants crawling around on the planet, you know, imagining that what we do is so important. And that God wants very little to do with us. But the God that Jesus reveals to us is a very different sort of God, a God who wants to make a home with us. Before I talk more about that theme, about making a home with us, I want to stop and pause for a moment on what can seem like a bit of conditionality in this passage. There's no if-then clause in it, right? Like, if you do this, then you will be rewarded, and if you don't, then you will not. But there is that simple statement at the beginning: those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And then that's contrasted with whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And a lot of commentaries from both liberal and conservative sides really zero in on this, right? Right? You get this from both sides of the political spectrum saying, if you are not keeping God's word, if you are not interpreting and doing everything in the Bible in the exact way that we think it should be done, then you don't love God. And then God will not dwell with you. Right? And so on the one side, you have people saying, you know, if you tolerate the abominations of modern society, you are not keeping God's word. And then on the other side, you have people who say that if you are not out there marching in the street every single day for justice and putting your life on the line, you are not keeping God's word. And that means you don't really love God. And that is a hard place to be. That is a hard way to live. And I think that neither of those things are what Christianity is really about. That Christianity is not about the extent to which we are keeping God's word and the extent to which we succeed in loving God, but rather the extent to which God loves us and shares God's word with us. Right? Think about who Jesus hung out with. Think about who Jesus is talking with at this meal. He's talking with people who consistently get it wrong, right? They don't understand his message. They don't love him in the way that he wants them to love him. And they don't keep their words or his words even when they understand it. And still, those are the people that Jesus chooses to associate with. Those are the people that he calls to follow him and that he gives his love and his peace and his spirit to. That's what I think is really at the heart of the Christian message, that this is the order of operations in human existence, that it is not we love God and we keep God's word and then we are rewarded, but rather that we mess up and God loves us, and that slowly begins to heal us. That context of love is the context into which God comes to make a home with us. Not to police us and our behavior, but to love and to care for us, to help us grow into creatures who are capable of loving, who are capable of keeping his word, but who certainly were not before, and in all honesty, still are not. That's what we do when we come together here. Broken, imperfect people who revel in the delight of God's grace, who explore together what it means that this God wants to live with us, wants to make a home with us. I want you to stop for a minute and think about what it means to live with somebody. We all have different living situations right now, right? Right? That's my reaction too. It is full of joy, and it is full of difficulties, right? Yeah. Whoever you're living with sees the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? They see everything. They see your mood swings. They see your idiosyncratic habits. And you have to learn how to live together. And God sees even more than those external things that we allow the people that we live with to see, right? God sees deep inside. God sees the things that you hide from even the people that you love the most. And God sees that and still says, I want to live with you. I want to make my home. At St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. First, we'll share in a moment of silent reflection. And then when you hear the sound of the bell, I invite you to share a story or an experience about what it means to live with someone, to make a home with someone, and what it would mean to have God desire that. Please join me in a moment of silence.